Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Gestamer Group Financial Year 2016 Audited IFRS Financial Results Call on 2 March 2017. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask a question. Today we have four speakers: Vladimir Cherakhov, CEO, Anna Garmanova, CFO, Alexey Voskobojnik, Head of Strategy and IR, and Sergey Levitsky, Head of Capital Markets and Business Valuation. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding the future events or the future financial performance of Gestamer Group. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, instead, will, could, may, or might, negative or such terms, similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update their statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or reflect the occurrence and anticipate events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, declining economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risk associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market changes in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Gestamer Group and its operations. Speakers, the floor is yours.
So, hello. My name is Vladimir Cherakhov. I'm CEO of the company Gestamer. Thank you for the call. Today, with our team, we will do a short presentation and answer on your questions. So, if you don't mind, I will start presentation. My colleagues, Alexey and Anna, will continue our short presentation. I will start from page number 3. Some words about our company. So, page number 3. Gestamer. Number one player in Russia in children goods market. Brand awareness 97%. By the end of last year, we had 525 stores in Russia and Kazakhstan. Idea of the store is everything for children under one roof. That's why we have such different categories in our portfolio, like toys, fashion goods, newborns, and some others. Typical store size is 1,200 square meters with about 30,000 SKUs. In 2015, our market share was 13%, but I want to mention that the most important channel in Russian market is a channel of specialized stores with a market share of 41%, and in this channel our share is 32%. You could see that during the last some years our market share is growing dramatically. We do consolidation of the market, we reduce number of players in the market, and open new stores at about 100 per year, like last year. Here I presented some financial results, but Anna Garmanova will describe our financial results in details. I just want to mention some figures. For example, you could see that we increased number of stores during the last 3 years more than twice. We increased our revenue more than twice. Our average EBITDA growth during the last some years was more than 40%. So, let's move to the next slide. At the next slide, you could see our geography. So, we are presented already in more than 170 cities in Russia. We are presented in Kazakhstan. During the last year, we opened 100 stores, and at the same time, we see huge opportunity for continue of our growth. So our conservative plan for this year is to open at least 70 stores. I'm sure, but we will open more stores. So 70 is quite conservative scenario. Let's move to the next slide. Some words about our concept. So again, idea of our stores is one-stop shop. That's why you could find in our stores everything for children. I just want to mention that in different categories we execute different strategies. For example, we use newborns to generate traffic to our stores. That's why in newborns our strategy is to keep the widest assortment, the lowest prices, because people who come to buy those goods usually buy other goods because they pass other much more profitable goods like toys, fashion goods, because we put newborns at the farthest corner in the store. So people who come to buy newborns usually buy other goods which are much more profitable in percentage. In toys, our strategy is another one. So in toys, our strategy is to keep the best selected assortment, to keep exclusivity rights for some SKUs, for some brands. How it works? We are the biggest player in the market, in the Russian market. We sell about 50% of well-known brands like Hasbro, Mattel, for example, in Russia. That's why with all our suppliers we have very strong position. That's why we agreed about exclusivity rights for some SKUs, for some brands. For example, quite often during new movie on so new movies you could find new toys like Avengers, like Star Wars, only in Detski Mir, and just after some weeks you could find those SKUs in other channels. And some words about our fashion goods. So fashion goods are the most profitable. That's why in these categories our strategy is to increase our private brands, private labels. That's why nowadays our share of our private brands in fashion goods is about 70%, and our goal is to keep 70% for our private brands. This is the way how to increase our profitability. So, thank you. Anya Garmanova will continue our presentation.
Thank you, Vladimir. Okay, let's move to the slide number 6, and first of all, some words about our financial and operating highlights for the last year. First of all, we would like to put your attention that we are very satisfied with the results of the last year. Why? Because we reached all goals which we had in the last year. First of all, we opened 100 new stores. The second, we continue the strong revenue growth, and the revenue growth in the last year was more than 30%, and we reached in absolute 79.5 billion rubles. The main key drivers of such revenue growth was our double-digit like-for-like, and a little bit later I tell you some information about the dynamic of our like-for-like. The third part, in the last year we continue work and continue improve for operating efficiency of our stores due to optimization some business processes, and due to it we improved our G&A cost as a share of revenue over 200 bps. What else? We kept double-digit EBITDA margin on the level 10.3% in the last year, and our adjusted EBITDA in the last year was 8.2 billion rubles, and the growth of EBITDA was more than 30%. Also, we had the perfect growth of our net profit in the last year. We doubled our net profit, and we reached level in size of 3.8 billion rubles. And also we keep our conservative politic regarding our leverage. Our leverage in the last year was 1.4 times adjusted net debt to adjusted EBITDA. Let's move to the next slide, the slide number 7. I told you that the main key drivers of our revenue growth is our like-for-like. You can see the top right part of the slide, the dynamic of our like-for-like for the last 4 years. You can see that we have positive dynamic. Our like-for-like for the last 4 years was double-digit, and in the last year, our like-for-like was 12.3%. You know that we present you two like-for-like, which calculated according to the different methodology. You know that in the last year, we had a very conservative methodology for our like-for-like calculated. We include in like-for-like group the stores which work the full calendar year. That means that, for example, in 2016, we included like-for-like group the stores which was opened in 2014 and earlier. And we fixed this group at the first January of 2016 and didn't change it during the old days, yes. But during our roadshow, we received a lot of questions from investors, and they recommended us to use another methodology of like-for-like. I mean the methodology which used by food retail. According to the new methodology, we include in like-for-like group the stores which works the last 12 months. And every month we change this group and join to it new stores which also work the last 12 months. And you can see that according to this methodology, our like-for-like for the last year was 12.3%, and according to the previous methodology, our like-for-like in the last year was 10.8%. And also we would like to put your attention to the high growth of number of the ticket. And for us it's very important that we have positive dynamic not only average ticket, but also the number of the ticket. And it shows us that we are very attractive for the new consumer which choose our retail chain. What else? In the last year and for the all previous years, due to our assets light model, we had very strong cash conversions and ROIC. You can see that our cash conversions in the last year was about 80%. It's a very high level for this decade. Let's move to the next slide, the slide number 8, some words about our profitability. You know that for the last 4 years, the growth of our gross profit was about 25% for each year, and despite on slightly declining in our gross margin in percent, we had growth in our gross profit per square meters. For us, it's the main indicator our efficiency, and it's our strategy. We keep a very attractive retail price, and it allowed us to have the strong revenue growth and to have the strong growth gross profit per square meters. On the right part of the slide, you can see some information, some details about our G&A cost. You can see that for the last 4 years, we decreased our G&A cost as a percent of the revenue by more than 7%. And in the last year, we continue this work. Our G&A cost as a percent of the revenue was about 24%, compared with the 2015 when it was about 26%. So we reduced it for more than 2%, and the main impact was our rent cost and our payroll cost. Let's move to the next slide, the slide number 9. Some words about our trade working capital. You can see on the slide that in 2015 we had some growth in our trade working capital. The main cause for this was the following. First of all, you know that we built our own DC near the Moscow, and that's why we need to invest a lot in inventory for this DC. The second, we had some change of margin structure between some shift between front and back margin. But you can see that in 2016 we improved the situation. We decreased the share of our trade working capital from the revenue by more than 1%, from 5.5% in 2015 till 4.3% in 2016. And also we significant decrease in the turnover of our trade working capital. I mean about 7 days. The turnover of our working capital in 2015 was 22 days, in 2016 it was 50 days. And we think that in future we will keep such level of our trade working capital. Let's move to the next slide. A couple of words about our cash flow conversions. You can see that we had a very high level of cash flow conversions. And as you can see at the right part of this slide, according to our cash flow statement, in the 2016 we had brilliant results regarding operating cash flow. Our operating cash flow was about 6 billion rubles. And our free cash flow was positive. It was about 4 billion rubles. Let's move to the next slide, the slide number 11, some words about returning to shareholders. You know that during the last 4 years we paid 100% of all our net profit as a dividend. We have the dividend policy. According to these documents, we will pay not less than 50% of all net profit as a dividend. But in this year we received very good results, financial results, and so we decided that we will recommend to board of directors to pay more than 50% of our net profit as a dividend, maybe 100%. And we will recommend it to our board of directors. Especially one moment which we would pay your attention, you know that despite on such huge payment of dividend, we keep a very useful, very convenient level of leverage. You know that in the last year our leverage was 1.4 times, compared with the 2015 when it was 1.7 times. Let's move to the next slide, some words about our financial policy. We have a very conservative financial policy. We work only with the main Russian international bank. All our debt is denominated in ruble. We haven't got any fixed risk regarding our debt. As I told, our leverage at the end of the last year was 1.4 times. Adjusted net debt to adjusted EBITDA. Compare with our bank covenant, for this indicates our leverage is 4 times, is a bank covenant. That's why 1.4 times it's a very convenient level for us. The weighted average interest rate to the end of the last year was about 12%, and we work hard for improving our interest rate, and we were successful in this, and we continue to decrease our interest rate. And the last slide, the slide number 13. Some words about our outlook. Vladimir told you that in 2017 we are going to open not less than 17 new stores. We think that we continue the growth of our revenue in the such level in the last year. We will keep double digit like for like in the 2017, and we think that maybe we will have some declining in our gross margin as a percentage, but it will be less than in 2015, because in 2016 we finished our project to matching online and offline price in our stores. What else? We think that in 2017 we will have some future decreasing in our G&A cost, in rent and in payroll, and we are sure that we will keep double-digit EBITDA margin. Regarding middle and long term, we think that we are going to open about 250 new stores. We will keep the growth of revenue. We think that our gross margin will be stable, and our SG&A cost also will be stable. And we think that our EBITDA margin will be double digit in the future.
Thank you for your attention. And now we are ready to turn to Q&A session.
We will now start question and answer session. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have the first question. Our first question comes from Victoria Petrova, Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for disclosure. My first question is related to LTI payment in 2016. You booked only 8 million rubles instead of expected 88. Has the accrual policy been changed, or what has changed versus initial expectations? My second question is related to the first quarter. How many stores have you opened year to date in 2017? And could you maybe provide a brief comment on the consumer behavior in the 2 months of 2017 you are seeing? Do you continue to invest in prices for toys? And what is the consumer response you are seeing right now? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your questions. First of all, I start from the first part of your questions regarding LTI. You are absolutely right that adjustment for our EBITDA in the 2016 for LTI payment was only 8 million rubles. The main cause of this the following. First of all, you know that now we have LTI program number 2. The first one was finished in 2015, and but the payment for LTI program number 1 was in 2016, and also the third part will be in 2017. So in 2015 we had some provision for this payment, and in the middle of the 2016 we recover some provision for the LTI program number 1 in size of 32 million rubles. And the provision for the new program for the 2016 was about 40 million rubles. So we have some the difference between 40 million and 32 million rubles is 8 million, and we had such adjustment in our statement. Okay,
thank you, Vika. I will answer about new store opening in 2017. In this year, we already opened 2 new stores. And, you know, usually we open less part of our new stores in first half of a year, and the biggest part we usually open in second half of a year. For example, in 2016, we open about 75 stores in second half of a year. And for example, in December, we open 38 new stores. So now absolutely fine with our development program, because now we are already opening more than in 2016, but it's were a little numbers, because mostly all opening will be later. But now we already have approved 34 places for new store opening in 2017. So we are absolutely sure in our development program for 2017, which contains 70 new stores for this year, not less. And so we are absolutely fine with it, with these numbers. And regarding your third part of your question about customer behavior in the first 2 months of 2017, we see that our strategy, which we were implemented in 2016, best prices in the market, matching prices online and offline in fourth quarter of 2016, work very good. We will open our financial result of first quarter in April, but now we see double digits like for like. We are absolutely fine here with our results, and we see that our strategy works good. We don't see any big customer changes in customer behavior.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Mikhail Krasnopetrov, Sberbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thanks for results. Just one clarification on your dividends. Did I get it right that you are planning to propose to your board of directors to approve 100% payment ratio for 16? And will it mean this 3.8 billion payment? payment in 17, or it should be deducted by some dividends that were already previously paid in 16?
You're absolutely right. We will recommend our board of directors to pay about 100% of all our net profit as a dividend. But unfortunately, mm-hmm. now I can't tell you the sum because you know that we will, that we pay the dividend from our net profit, which calculated in our RAS statement, not MC4. And our net profit in the RAS statement is up, in the higher than in IFRS statement. And now we have some audit process regarding our RAS statement. So we publish this statement only in the end of the March of this year. And after this, you can see what will be the net profit for the full 2016. I can add that we paid about 3 billion rubles for 9 months statement in the December of 2016. So the rest of net profit we will pay in the middle of this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's clear. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nikolai Kovalev, VTB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, so I have a quick question. On your deal presentation, you provided a very detailed breakdown of metrics between Detsky Mir stores for Moscow metropolitan area and other regions. So I was wondering, are you going to maintain this kind of disclosure and if this data will be available to the market? And also, if you can comment what kind of releases and how often are you going to publish in terms of operating and financial data?
Nikolai, thank you for your question. In our result of 2016, we didn't have such information, but in a previous presentation, you can find some information that we are absolutely fine with our Moscow region and other region results of store because they are the same profitable and we are absolutely happy with their profitability. And the share between Moscow region and other region didn't change till last several years and we didn't expect that it will change. Yeah, the economics is absolutely the same.
Yeah. Okay, so for example, breakdown between the number of stores, average checks and stuff like that will be available for Moscow and other regions going forward, or I didn't get it correct?
In future, we didn't estimate that we will give such a split before between Moscow and other regions, but we also give information about regions where we open our new stores, so you can get this information where we are opening our new stores in future. Yeah. But also, I want to focus that we have the same level of EBITDA margin because in regions we have lower rental payments and salaries. So we have the same economics in our stores in Moscow region and other regions. So no changes. Yeah, all of them are profitable.
Okay, and how often you will be reporting results, operating data and financial data? Like once a quarter or every month?
One time per quarter.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Екатерина Ещенко, Union Invest. Please go ahead.
Добрый день. У меня вопрос по вашей географической экспансии. То есть Россию мы обсуждали, Казахстан тоже вы упоминали, что у вас есть магазин, вы планируете там роллаут. В прессе недавно было интервью с владельцем системы, который упомянул экспансию и как возможную страну экспансии Индия. Можете как-то комментировать это?
Добрый день еще раз. Sorry. Thank you for
should we do it in English? Yeah.
As we told during roadshow, we are focused on Russia and Kazakhstan. For next couple of years, we will be focused only in Russia and Kazakhstan. We have a discussion inside our company. We have a discussion in our board about in which new regions we will enter after some years, but again, If we speak about two, maybe 3 years, we will be focused in Russia and Kazakhstan, where we see opportunity to open at least 250 stores, at least. It's a conservative mm-hmm. scenario.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Radim Kramule, Erste. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm not that familiar with the company, so I just have some maybe some basic questions. I was wondering how is actually working the combination of, let's say, the stuff for newborns with fashion kits and also the apparel, because from my I don't know such a format looking at other companies here in Europe. So I was just wondering how actually what kind of, because usually the basic stuff for example newborns people from my perspective buy in like hypermarkets or drugstores. So what kind of, you know, these combination toys and basic stuff, how you view the strategy and why the customers are coming?
Okay, thank you for your question. You know, there are several parts of this question and several impacts for such a success in Russia with our format. First of all, our history, because Detский мир have history about 70 years and start in Soviet Union when in every city with population 100,000 and more, it was a decision to have Detский мир store. So all population in Russia knew Detский мир brand. We have brand awareness about 98%. So all customers in Russia absolutely loyalty with Detский мир. And the second one, because we already are really big and we have best purchase contracts, so we have very good prices. And we have very convenient and very competitive prices in newborns, and this help us to attract new traffic. Because, how Vladimir said, we have the widest assortment and the best prices in newborns. And so customers prefer us because they need to go for these products two or three times a week. And Detский мир much more convenient to make their purchase than a hypermarkets, because we have even cheaper prices, much bigger assortment, and much more convenient locations. And we are much closer to their homes than hypermarkets. So we're really successful in Russia. We look at other countries. So we look at Toys R Us, Greece, Jumbo, and all others. And we see that we have our own way, and we have success, and it contains from different parts. And now we have a plan to further development, so we didn't see now any risk for our format in Russia.
And where are you usually based? Is it more like in the malls next to grocery stores, or which part of the malls you usually tend to be?
About 98% of our stores are in shopping malls, and we usually open in them, and all landlords prefer us. So when some new malls appeared, they usually offer us to be the anchors, because we have much more attractive format and concept than all other our competitors. So yeah, mostly we are open in shopping malls. Yeah.
And you mentioned you're somewhere in the basement usually, eh? You're close to the entries of the shopping malls.
Cost of entries for shopping malls? Sorry.
No. What part of the mall usually you tend to be? Is it on the base floor, or, you know, because usually downstairs you have groceries and this kind of convenience stuff, and in the upper stores you have got apparel and this kind of stuff. So I was wondering which part of the malls which floors of the mall you tend to be.
It can be different floors, because sometimes we are sitting in first floor, but this is the smaller shopping malls. And in big shopping malls, we're usually located in some children's area, maybe in, near the food court on third, fourth floor, but we generate a lot of traffic, and we use traffic from food court, because now in every shopping malls, for modern shopping malls, for their conception, they have to have anchor with children goods. So we can use different locations, different spaces, because our format is really flexible. We can open our stores with different number of square meters, and we can be on first, second, on third floor. It doesn't matter. All our stores are profitable, and they have the same profitability. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe we can have a couple of additional questions about it. How is the ruble fluctuation influence your like-for-likes and the top line?
Can you repeat one more time, please?
The FX, how does it influence your top line or like-for-likes?
Okay, you know that about 80% of all our goods are produced by in abroad, but only 20% of all our purchases were imported ourselves. That means that about 80% of all our goods we buy on the Russian market by ruble. First of all, I mean such huge suppliers as Lego, Hasbro, Mattel. They imported their goods themselves in Russia, and they put for us the price for their goods in ruble. And we haven't got any fixed risk which connected with this contract. And you can see that during 2015-2014, when it was very negative economical situations in Russia, we had very positive financial results and very good growth. Why? Because these suppliers are ready to divide with us their profit, not to increase the purchase price for us, because for them it's more important to keep the share of the market and to grow with us. That's why we haven't got any significant effects from a fixed risk to our margin and to our like-for-like.
So would you expect that if the FX stabilizes that the suppliers would like to increase the prices sooner or later to regain the lost margins that they lost over the years?
They don't increase purchase prices for us in full impact of FX, because historically they have much higher prices in the Russian market than in all other countries. So they have a really big gap which they can share with us, while ruble has devaluation. So we have this result in 2015, and so they didn't increase prices for us in full impact of devaluation of ruble.
Okay. Maybe last question from my side, if I may. I was reading through your presentation, and you mentioned some new distribution center that you would like to open, I don't know, in a couple of years. What kind of capex would that be? And when this investment could take place, please?
Yes, you're right. We are going to open DC in Ural in 2018, and now we don't know if it will be rent model or it will be our own DC. But in any case, we are going to invest in equipment of a new DC about 1 billion rubles. And in case if it will be our own DC, we additional invest about 2 billion rubles in this DC. But the main goal for this building to reduce our logistic cost as a percent of our revenue, and that's why UDC allowed us to reduce our logistic cost, and it will compensate all our additional costs which we will have with this investment.
Radim, sorry, maybe one last question, because we have a lot of other participants of our conference call.
I said it was my last question. Thank you.
Thank you, Radim.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nida Iqbal Ahmed, Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the call. Actually, most of my questions have been answered, but just two questions. Firstly, in 2016, you had a shift in terms of your revenue split towards toys versus newborn. So do you expect the split to remain stable now or the toy segment to grow further? And secondly, in terms of the tax rate, we'd been guided to a 26% effective tax rate, but 2016 was lower than that. What was the reason for that, and what are your expectations going forward? Thank you.
You know that effective tax rate in 2016 was 26%, and we think that in future we will keep such level of our effective tax rate. You know that regarding the Russia law, we have some strict criteria for payment tax, and that's why we can't. We need to pay tax with our losses in part of obsolescence and shrinkage. That's why we have such level of tax rate. And in future, we think that we will keep such level of tax rate.
Can you repeat the first part of your question about toys, please?
In 2016, the toy segment grew as a percentage of revenue, so you went from newborn being the largest driver of revenues in 2015 to toys being the largest driver. Should we expect that split to continue or sort of toys to grow as a percent of total revenue as well?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because, you know, in Russia we have a very big birth rate now, and we have a lot of newborns every year, and so we have the biggest growth rate in newborns category from year to year, and we see that in the future the share of newborns can increase in our revenue a little bit, but we didn't see any risk for us in this case, because, you know, in newborns we have the biggest gross profit per square meter, and while we have the same square meters in our offline stores for this category, and where a big growth rate of this category, we just gain more gross profit per square meter in this category. So we're absolutely fine with changing in split of our categories from our revenue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Mikhail Krasnoperov, Sberbank. Please go ahead.
Actually, my question has already been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining this call today. If anyone has any follow-up questions, please feel free to get in touch with us. Thank you, everyone, and have a very good day. Thank you.
Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.